ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण Reading from Shrimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 8, Text 14. Please repeat the word for word. Translation and purport by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. When Maharaj Bharat was actually worshipping the Lord or was engaged in some ritualistic ceremony, although his activities were unfinished, he would still, at intervals, get up and see where the deer was. In this way, he would look for it, and when he could see that the deer was comfortably situated, his mind and heart would be very satisfied, and he would bestow his blessings upon the deer, saying, "My dear calf, may you be happy in all respects." Purport. Because his attraction for the deer was so intense, Maharaj Bharat could not concentrate upon worshipping the Lord or performing his ritualistic ceremonies. Even though he was engaged in worshipping the deity, his mind was restless due to his inordinate affection. While trying to meditate, he would simply think of the deer, wondering where it had gone. In other words, if one's mind is distracted from worship, a mere show of worship will not be of any benefit. The fact that Maharaj Bharat had to get up at intervals to look for the deer was simply a sign that he had fallen down from the spiritual platform. Reading from Canto 5, Chapter 8, The Character of Bharat Maharaj. This particular verse describes a situation where the attraction for something which is so mundane, so off, deviated from the path of worshipping the Lord, somehow becomes so intense that the worshipper practically very soon is going to give up. So this verse describes how Maharaj Bharat, he was actually worshipping the Lord, or when he would be engaged in doing some rituals, although his activities would not be over, he would just get up and see whether the deer is all right, is he getting his food or is he resting. And when he could see that the deer was comfortably situated, that time his mind and heart would be very satisfied. And he would give his blessings in his mind that, "My dear deer, you be happy in all respects." A very, very strange thing. It is described that Maharaj Bharat was more or less on the platform of a sthayi bhav, where your desire to worship the Lord does not slacken. We are not describing a neophyte sadhaka, a conditioned person who just now got preached, got a pamphlet or a leaflet in the mail, or got an invitation in the train, went to some program, and then started chanting in his own home, and now he's finding difficult to concentrate on chanting the holy name. No. We are describing the emperor of the planet Earth, who had a very young wife, a fantastic family, unlimited wealth, power, fame, glory. He gave all that up, renounced everything, malavat, just like a person when passing stool gives it up without any second thought. So obviously something more than a mundane falling down is going on here. How do we understand the lives of great saintly people like Maharaj Bharat? And of all things, he is attracted to a deer. Krishna teaches or Krishna has to teach the science of devotional service from both points of view. When Krishna's own devotees, own in the sense, his pure devotees, his confidential devotees, in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, there is a slight difference made between a pure devotee and a confidential devotee. A confidential devotee is, of course, pure, but he is doing his bidding, he's on a mission. He comes on a very special task is cut out for him when he's in this material world. And their life, without any rhyme and reason, so to say, they are spontaneously attracted to Krishna. Once Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he initiated a series of correspondence with Prabhupada, and one question he asked was, "Are you a pure devotee?" And he was very forthright, very direct in whatever he would do. So Prabhupada's answers to his questions are also very interesting. Prabhupada says, somebody looked at his astrology chart and said he was a physician in his previous life and he had never committed any sin. And in this life, my father trained me up. And we know the story when Prabhupada was a small boy, he got cholera. And a doctor said, he needs strength. He cannot survive like this. Give him some chicken soup. And Prabhupada's father said, we don't eat that kind of stuff. We are vegetarians, strictly. He said, don't worry, I'll cook and I'll bring. So he cooked that stuff, he got it there. But before he could even make Prabhupada swallow it, Prabhupada vomited. And Gaur Mohan Day just took that bowl and threw it out. He says, I don't want it. So Prabhupada also shared that. And then the last line Prabhupada writes is, as far as this life is concerned, I never know a single moment when I had forgotten Radha Krishna. So that is something very special. And of course, afterwards, by seeing Srila Prabhupada's life, we can understand that he certainly was a soul who never could forget the service of Radha and Krishna. And therefore, Krishna uses his devotees in this way by showing how spontaneously they get attracted and miraculous things happen. And Krishna uses his own devotees to sometimes slacken in their devotional service. If at all you want to show how people fail, there is no shortage in this material world. Everybody is a failure. Otherwise, why would they be here? So to take someone from this world and make him fall down is something which Krishna is not interested. They are doing it anyway. They need not be told how to get attracted to something mundane. But just to teach what are the pitfalls on the path of bhakti and how we have to be careful, a conditioned living entity may not have that strength to even sustain that fall. So for all practical purposes, anything which merits to be mentioned in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam should be understood to something where a very, very exalted personality is being used by Krishna to teach. Now, all the miracles which happen, they may not happen with everybody. For example, Prabhupada was asked, how do we manage things when you leave? And he said, it's simple, just do as I did. A reporter asked Prabhupada why he was traveling all over the world. He said, so that those disciples who have taken my shelter should not fall down. That's my only worry. Now, as years go by, as decades go by, I remember one Vyaspuja offering of His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj. It's not a very nice thing, but he wrote it. He said, one of his god brothers said, what's so great about Prabhupada traveling all over the world? I am doing it twice a year. Or something like that. So he said, Prabhupada, many of us felt that do as you did simply meant to have a round the world trip ticket or just in a very brash, exciting way start opening centers. But Prabhupada not only opened centers, he also maintained them. And he said, so sometimes the mood started coming in us that we are like your replacements. Oh, we can easily replace Prabhupada what he did. But then that god brother was no more active in devotional service because of that pride. So, as decades go by, the miracle over Prabhupada circling around the world 14 times, 7,000 disciples initiated, writing books, and traveling and preaching, that sense of awe and wonder will increase. And now we have, you know, someone managing one continent like a big thing. Every year that thing gets narrower and narrower, and then some leaders say, just this one center and that's all. Don't ask me anything beyond this. It's too much. So therefore now we understand how Prabhupada could do it single-handedly. Now that miracle may not be duplicated. But the point is, what's happening in the life of Maharaj Bharat, there is a good chance that that may happen. So therefore, the only way we can understand these incidents is, first of all, we don't lose our respect for Maharaj Bharat. He still is a pure devotee, even though he is now showing signs of slackening. And just how powerful this material illusion can be, how powerful this material energy can be, is shown. There was no money which attracted Maharaj Bharat's attention. As someone mentioned, it is not that Maharaj Bharat was a deer fan and he had kept many pet deers in his palace and somehow that old attraction came up. It's not conditioning either. How can a deer attract someone who had the entire world as his kingdom? So, this is how we can understand these things. And of course, today's main topic is, as today's Chaitra Krishna Saptami, this is the divine disappearance observation of Abhiram Das Thakur, Abhiram Gopal. So I would like to say a few things about this most unusual and wonderful person. He's known as also Sri Ram Das, that's his name. He is a Pradhan Gopal, one of the main cowherd associates. He's one of the associates of Nityanand Prabhu. And Khanakul Krishnanagar is a place where he appeared and his pastimes took place there. Khana is a river, Kula is the bank of the river. And because Krishna appeared there was a nice Krishna temple, temple of Gopinath. So that Krishna, the place where the Krishna temple is became known as Krishnanagar. And because it is on the bank of the Khana river, it is called Khanakul Krishnanagar. When we had gone on an advanced yatra, we had plans to take all the devotees there, but then we could not fit all the buses and somehow that thing was shelved. Otherwise, it's a very nice place, especially the deity of Gopinath. So this deity of Gopinath appeared in the dream of Abhiram Gopal and said, I am in this place on the bank of the river, I am buried here, please bring me up. So he brought the deity out, made a nice temple. There is also a bakula tree. It's called a Siddha Bakula Kunja. And a very nice festival takes place today there. Every Chaitra Saptami, Krishna Paksha. There are three or four main pastimes about Abhiram Gopal. Not much is known. There was a disciple, Tilak Ram Das, who wrote his story. The most important pastime is his offering dandavats. Abhiram Gopal, he would offer dandavat to Shaligram deities, Shaligram stone. And if that Shaligram was bogus, it would immediately break into pieces. So that was a test. If anyone would say, here is a genuine Shaligram, all you had to do was to make Abhiram Gopal offer dandavat. And his one pranam would be so powerful that if the stone was, the Shaligram stone was not bona fide, it would just break. As he was an associate of Nityanand Prabhu, one day Nityanand Prabhu and Abhiram Gopal were together, and Nityanand, as you know, had two wives, Janava and Vasudha. There, one of their sons came. As soon as Abhiram Gopal offered his pranam, that son left his body. And Janava and Vasudha were very sad. This happened not once, but twice, thrice. In fact, every time a son would be born to Nityanand Prabhu, Abhiram would go there, offer his pranam, and that child would leave the body. This is something which we can never understand by our mundane understanding. And people were so confused. Janava and Vasudha were very sad. And one day, the last of Nityanand Prabhu's sons, who was to become later Veerabhadra or Veerachandra, he appeared. And Nityanand Prabhu told him that, I don't like to be criticized as one without a son. Like even in India, traditionally, Niputrik would be a very harsh criticism of any woman, that she has no son. So Nityanand Prabhu said, I don't want to be criticized like this. So you please don't come and see him. Abhiram Gopal was living on the other side of the river with his wife, Malini Devi. Her name also was Malini. And Vakreshwar Pandit, another of Nityanand Prabhu's associate, he said, Abhiram, don't you know there is a nice festival? Nitai has invited everyone. He said, well, he has not invited me, so how can I go? He called himself a Rakhal. Rakhal means a coward boy. He said, actually, I also don't need any invitation. As a coward boy, we are allowed to go anywhere. We can freely go and in of out of any house, no problem. But Nityanand Prabhu had done such nice arrangements. He had issued a fatwa. Not exactly that sense. But he had told that no boatman should carry this Abhiram Gopal. And he had told the boatman how he looks like. And he said, nobody should bring him here. That's my order. Of course, it's a pastime. Nityanand Prabhu is a self-same personality of Godhead. So Abhiram Gopal decided that finally I have to go. I will go. So he went and he found that nobody is cooperative. Nobody is helping him. He went to a boatman and said, I want to cross. So he said, well, Nityanand Prabhu has told me that such and such person would come. What's your name? So he says, Abhiram. He says, I am not supposed to carry you. In fact, he had given me some description, but now it fits. So he said, but what's the problem? I'm going to pay you. He says, no, I'm not supposed to carry you. In fact, that person feared him so much, he made a hole in his boat and sank it. So that, no more question of any bargaining. And seeing him, other boatmen could understand what must be the problem. And they also started sinking their boats. So, the whole bank was shunya. All calm and quiet. There was no boat in sight. So Abhiram saying that this is too much, you know, nobody is carrying me. So he just took out his cloth and he threw that cloth in the water. And using that as a, I don't know how it floated, but somehow he went to the other bank. And there was all panic. Abhiram is coming, Abhiram is coming. And everybody was trying to hide the son and what to do. But as he has come, he himself was in the mood of a Gopal. So Nitai went ahead and said, offered him pranams. They were very close associates, but except for this some small problem. So he said, now you like to eat? He says, yeah, of course, I am hungry. So Janava and Vasudha were told, bring food. They brought fancy rice, vegetable preps, sweet rice, other kinds of sweets. And he just went on eating. And they said, well, other guests are not served yet. He said, bring me more, I am very hungry. And finally, you could only hear the twanging of utensils and scraping the bottoms and nothing left in the house. So Nitai came and he said, hey, what you have done, there is nothing left. So he said, but I am not satisfied yet. He said, absolutely nothing, everything saaf, clear. He said, we are coward boys. We take first, you know. Our etiquette is not that we distribute immediately. We take first. And then we give. He said, show me. So he got up, washed his hands, went inside. Everything was double. All the preparations which they had made for serving the devotees, they all became double. And everybody saw that this person is a very special soul. He said, now I want to take darshan of your son. And this was the moment everybody was very wary of. But somehow, Veer Chandra is none other than Shirodakshai Vishnu. He's also not an ordinary person. Abhiram then explained, the only purpose why I had offered pranams to your sons was to check whether they are a swamsha or otherwise. Because they were not, they just left. So, Abhiram came forward, offered pranam. And Veer Chandra just smiled. He offered him again. He offered him third time. And now it was confirmed that this person is not an ordinary person. And in this way, everybody came to know of the greatness of Nityan Prabhu, of Abhiram Gopal, and also of Veerbhadra Thakur. He, of course, later started preaching. It is described about Veerbhadra. Just because Abhiram Gopal tested him, it was revealed as to what a great personality is. It is said that, Jena dekhe che gora, dekh ar bar, punar bar sei gora avatar. One who was so unfortunate that he could not see Lord Chaitanya personally, there is one more chance. You can see the Lord's appearance, his facial features and his activities through the activities of Veerbhadra Goswami, Veerchandra. That is the special position of Veerbhadra. Another of his specialty was a whip, chabuk, a whip which he carried. It is said that he would crack that whip on someone and give him love of God. Everything about him is completely lateral. Nothing seems to be logical or nothing. His preaching methods are like this. He would crack his whip at someone and that person would get his love of God. So once Srinivas Acharya had come there, so he cracked at him once, second time. The third time, the first time itself, Srinivacharya was in complete bliss. His wife said, stop! He's a boy, don't give him so much ecstasy. He won't be able to bear it. So his wife had to act as a sort of a quality control. She had to reduce his preaching efforts. He would be so ecstatic. One day he was so restless, he wanted to play the flute. So he started searching, where I can play the flute? He couldn't find anything. There was a big log. It was so heavy, 16 people could not carry it. He effortlessly picked it up and started playing flute on that log. So this wonderful personality, who is none other than Shridham Sakha, somewhere we have here Shridham here. So that Shridham, one of the 12 Gopals, associates of Balram. Nityananda Prabhu is Balram, and this is Abhiram Gopal. So all you can do is release these pastimes and offer our pranams. Nothing can be imitated, but this is how. Of course, you also were one of those select few, along with Gadadhar Das Goswami, who were sent by Lord Chaitanya to preach in Bengal. Lord Chaitanya told Nityananda Prabhu to get married, and he told him to preach. And when they got the order from Puri, and this whole group, a group of one of the most ecstatic preachers, and when they started their mission of preaching in Bengal, they didn't just immediately start thinking that this is the direction we have to take. They immediately engaged in ecstatic chanting, dancing. And their chanting was so ecstatic, there was hardly any direction sense. They had a few milestones, take this village, then this village. And they would ask, where are we? And they say, oh, that village is 10 miles down here. So then again they would go that direction, something like an aeroplane flight, you know. In air, there are no road sense, there is no road sense. So the aeroplane goes like this, and then he knows, oh, it is off course, it comes like this. How they reach Bengal itself is a mystery. With this kind of ecstasy completely overwhelming them. But that is the mood of Lord Chaitanya, and this is how we understand the life of one ecstatic member of that group. I also would like to take some opportunity to speak about another Abhiram Gopal who graced our ashram here and left on 18th of July. Am I correct? 18th of July? Yeah. But since he was very happy getting this name, we still have his picture in the ashram. He was born Anup Kumar Bhattacharya. And he said in our traditional Bengali village, we used to sing, Chau Dike Kartal Baje Madhe Nache Gora. But we never used to know what it means. What is the meaning of Chau Dike Kartal Baje Madhe Nache Gora? And he said, you people know Krishna Balaram and Chaitanya Nitai. For us, Kanai Balai Nimai Nitai. This is how we were taught in our childhood. There is Kanai Balai, Krishna and Balaram, and Nimai and Nitai. Chaitanya Nityananda Prabhu. So all those things were there in my mind. We were trained in how to offer worship, but it was not properly given. So soon after the independence, the partition of this Indian subcontinent, in order to realize his fortunes, material fortunes at least, he migrated to West Pakistan. That time it was East and West Pakistan. There was no Bangladesh. In the whole of Pakistan, he was the only Bhattacharya. Only one name. So he said, you could understand how easily it was possible for the authorities to keep a track on my activities. But somehow he kept himself so pure, and he was very successful as a businessman also. He had a partnership business with some Frenchman exporting garments, leading a very, very royal life. In fact, without his permission, I would like to tell some things which he used to tell us. He said, I was so much used to luxury. He says, at that time, in the 60s and 70s, my office would be air-conditioned, my house would be air-conditioned, my car would be air-conditioned. As I would be taking my lunch, I would call the office, put on the AC. So when I come, it will be already properly acclimatized. He will tell the car driver, start the AC. So he says, practically, I never knew what material hardships were. Krishna was very kind to me. He says, one day there was a power outage in Karachi. No power. He said, how can I stay? So for 1 hour, 45 minutes, he stayed in his car, going around the whole city. And he would keep on calling his house, "Has the electricity come?" So, in this way, his life was going on. He kept on worship of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna Balaram in his heart. And one day, Giriraj Maharaj, His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, made him a life member, gave him Prabhupada's books, and he would say in Hindi, "Kya book likha Prabhupada? Dimag kharab kar diya." His idea of anything high class would be dimag kharab kar diya. And he said, "Just one Back to God magazine. I would keep on looking at it again and again and again." And he got so inspired, he started helping them. Then one more Prabhupada disciple, Amogh Lila Prabhu, he still goes to Pakistan. And because his passport is all Pakistan, 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 he doesn't visit India. Because once it comes that he has visited India, his visit to Pakistan would be in jeopardy. So he has never visited Vrindavan after that, never visited any dham. But just because he has this service of preaching, he is continuing. 2 years ago, Amogh Lila Prabhu, he completed a long-awaited thing, which also was helped by Abhiram Gopal Prabhu. The Urdu translation of Bhagavad Gita as it is. So, one colonel in the Pakistan army, also in the ISI, their spy department, he said, "This Amogh Lila is an Indian spy. I'm going to arrest him." So he said, "What nonsense? He comes to my house, he stays with me." He says, "We are monitoring your house. We know that. But he's an Indian spy." He says, "It can't be." He said, "I argued with him for half an hour and I vouched for him. He said, if anything he does, you can imprison me." And just because of the immaculate, you can say, credibility of Abhiram Gopal Thakur Prabhu, somehow that colonel relented. He said, "Okay, I'll not arrest him this time. But tell him to be very careful." What was the basis on which they were thinking he was a spy? Well, we saw him meeting some people at the railway station and at the airport. So that was the situation, or that is still the situation in Pakistan. In that situation, he raised his family of 4 sons, 1 daughter. And because of the purity he had, when the religious riots occurred in India, he said he had a dream. There was a big bus, and he saw full of ISKCON devotees. Prabhupada was driving the bus. He was outside. Prabhupada looked at him. He said, "Get in." He didn't say anything, but he said, "That time I could understand that it's now time for me to take some decision, some very big decision." He told his family that this is not a good time now. All the while, for 40 years, this society tolerated us. Everyone knew that this one Hindu has a very palatial house here, it's a big business. But now things are going beyond tolerance. People are becoming very fanatical. So we should move to India. And now is the time when I am thinking of completely withdrawing myself from family life. His family was very cooperative. He said, "One day it was revealed to me that I would get a house where there were 7 hills around it." He said, "The same kind of house we purchased at that place near Pune. What is that? Lullanagar area. Vanavadi." So he says that I was so assured that Krishna and Prabhupada, more than Krishna, he felt Prabhupada is taking care of me at every moment, all because I helped his movement a little bit in Pakistan. He supported preaching. He also became a member. He used to give regular donations. And when he came here, we all were sort of worried, also surprised, that in this ashram of all young, not teenagers, but at least young brahmacharis, How do we fit in a 65-year-old or more vanaprasthi? And it was, at least for me, it was a complete revelation. He used to be sick sometimes, and we never heard someone shouting Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu all the time. But it gave a glimpse of what Vedic society would be, where it is not just a spiritual movement is not just some brash young teenagers doing something, or like a old boys club, you know, retirees, octogenarians, 80-year-olds discussing the future. That's why we have many spiritual societies today. Some are so angry with sannyasis having problems, they have only grihastha ashram. Some are so angry with grihasthas becoming so greedy, they have only sannyasis in their ashram. But if you take only one, you still don't have the full picture. Like right now we have in Mayapur, a new ashram built for only for senior brahmacharis. And that's a step in the right direction. I was discussing with someone and the topic came of old people not getting respect in their homes. And it's a fact. Yeah, I was in Goa and someone was telling me this. Why don't they get? So some people are so smart, they say, okay, we should have some kind of insurance. So one old woman was saying that, I have my jewelry. I will give this to one of my sons who takes care of me. There are three sons. So they say, oh, if we have to take mummy's jewelry, we have to take care of her. So she spends 4 months in each son's home. So that jewelry has to be the insurance. If not for the jewelry, none would take care of her. Sometimes it's estate, sometimes property, sometimes money. But Prabhupada, when he was practically an invalid, he said, why are all of you head over heels trying to take care of me? I didn't teach you anything except Krishna consciousness. What else I had? But that is the main secret. So we will see in Kali Yuga a proliferation of old age homes and so many broken hearts, so many sad stories of people driven away from their homes by their own sons and daughters. And they may wonder, what was our crime? What did we do? The biggest crime was you didn't teach Krishna consciousness. If you practiced it and you taught it, not only from your biological sons and daughters, but Krishna will provide so many. And Prabhupada said, I had one wife and few children, and now I have thousands of children who are lovingly taking care of me. And then he added, without the bodhrachan of a wife. So, at least in his life, when he came here, suddenly it was like a, I could say that, it was an intrusion. When a new college graduate comes, a new engineer joins, or a doctor joins, or MBA, or anyone, even a simple village boy joins, and the ashram glorifies, wow, we have a new talent now, we have a very strong fellow, he sings well, dances well, cooks well. What could an invalid add to the ashram? He never gave class. He says, I'm not qualified. You're all qualified. But the sweetness which we felt when we had a little chance to serve him, either massage him or talk to him, and then the wealth of knowledge which gushed forth, and the special way in which he would cook, he was a very talented cook, Abhiram Gopal Thakur Prabhu. He was very happy that he got this name. He got the name from Radhanath Maharaj, his spiritual master. And then he requested that, you only have called me Abhiram Das. Could you please also add Gopal Thakur also? And Maharaj once said that, I don't look up to him as my disciple. It's a service I am forced to do. I treat him more like a senior godbrother. He served Prabhupada in such a difficult situation, one of the most difficult places on earth. My role as a spiritual master is just an insignificant service I am doing him. Especially, we have a sign there near Maharaj's room that Maharaj is taking rest. Please don't make noise. But just like any other sign on the railway station or on the bus station, Indian mentality, you just dekhe bhi andekha. You just ignore it. So time and again he has to come out and say, silence, silence, or tell his servants, please tell them, don't make so much noise. And one day I asked Maharaj, Maharaj, this Abhiram Gopal Thakur Prabhu, all night he shouts, anytime he even feels like belching, he would shout, Vishnu! I said, do you feel disturbed by it? Maharaj said, I hardly notice it. I said, wow, this is something strange. He said, when you people come there and talk prajalpa, that disturbs me so much. Then he said, the way he cooks, he says, his cooking, eating what he cooks is like Raganuga Bhakti for me. So natural. I said, of course, that means what we do is something like Sadhana Bhakti. He didn't comment on that. But he really liked to cook. And anytime you go out for preaching, whether it is out of Bombay for a few days or in Bombay, and you come to him, and there's always something in his jar, either tar gud, palm jaggery from Bengal, and that would be put in a jar of puffed rice, muri, so that it doesn't get wet. How many years must be with us? About 5-6 years. And every year, his body almost was not cooperating fully. He had a mild sort of prostate attack. There were stones, prostate gallbladder stones. Then Vrindavan also, he had a heavy sickness. And of course, the Bhagavatam says, Etavan Sankhya Yoga Abhyam Sadharma Parinishthaya Janma Labha Parapumsam Ante Narayana Smriti. Everything what you have done is tested by how you live this life. Unfortunately or whatever, most of the brahmacharis were in Jagannath Puri when his situation became very acute. And Rohini Kumar Prabhu was there with him. He would always chant Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bhajans, especially those when he would lament that, I gave up you, my Lord. I took sense gratification as the main occupation in my life. I'm very sorry. And those bhajans he would really relish. And on that last day when he was leaving, he told Rohini Kumar, Ek Krishna ko bolo, kya samajhta hai apne aapko? He says, you ask this Krishna, what do you think of himself? I am afraid of death. Tell him, he can come anytime. Don't give me the fear of death. Where am I supposed to go? I was with, Prabhupada took so much care of me. You devotees gave me so much love. I know where I am going to be. So tell him. 2-3 times repeated that. He says, I don't fear death. If you want to take me away, take me right now. So in this way, while meditating on Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bhajans, completely Krishna conscious, he passed away. I saw on his bag was written AVM. I said, what is AVM? He says, Air Vice Marshal. He would say, I'm Air Vice Marshal. Abhiram Gopal, but that's how he would call himself. So I just thought that I don't know much about this Abhiram Gopal, an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya, but somehow we have Abhiram Gopal Das, one such eternal associate of Prabhupada, and we had the good fortune of having him in the ashram, and now I have the good fortune of glorifying him. So I'd like to stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Radha Gopinath ki.